Liebe Zuschauer, liebe Zuschauerinnen.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, a very warm greeting to the 15th part of our series, The Speaking All Unity, The Word of the Universal Creator Spirit. With this topic, great spiritual correlations of life open up to us on the structure of the pure spiritual creation, on the fall and the emergence of matter, on the all-communication principle of sending and receiving, about the where from and where to of mankind, and much, much more. We also hear about the core of being over and over again, and how the life in God's cradle of drawing and creating is built up over unimaginable cycles of time via the mineral, plant, and animal kingdoms, all the way to an emerging spirit child. The incorruptible core of being is the primordial heart in the all communication, which is also in us human beings as the link and be. Dear fellow people, today we will continue reading in our book to this program. It is a cosmic work of teaching and learning from the School of Divine Wisdom, which was compiled on the basis of conversation rounds with Gabriella, the prophetess and emissary of God in our time. And so, there is again more to learn for us, as well, who may read to you. We are glad that you can be with us, and if you want to learn with us. We now learn, among other things, what role the all-communication principle plays in the life of a human being. For example, what takes place spiritually with the birth of a human child? We will be reading from a chapter entitled The All-Communication Network Accompanies the Approaching Earth Citizen.
Das Gebende und Empfangende All.
The giving and receiving all principle is always the free spirit, God, the life of infinity, the light ether. The core of being, about which we have often heard, thus contains all the powers of the being, because it is compressed light ether. Jesus of Nazareth taught people, the kingdom of God is within, in you. So it is. All powers of the eternal being, set in the core of being, are in us, in the very basis of our soul, the primordial source of giving and receiving is the light of the eternal sun, which fills our soul and our body with life force. It is the divinity in the core of being. With the birth of a human child, with its first cry, its first independent inhalation, the core of being and the soul connect with each child's developing pituitary gland. The finer material soul increasingly establishes contact with the organism of the newborn and, according to its aura, flows into the physical body. According to the growth and maturity of the child, it flows ever deeper into the physical body. Via the core of being, the eternal free spirit gives life to the human child. The child's breath is, as with all of us, the breath of God.
As stated, just as the child grows and develops, a part of the soul takes possession of the body more and more. Successively, it flows via the seven spiritual centers in the person into the components of the physical body and transmits life to all its physical functions. This means that via the core of being, the Eternal gives his power to the soul, and via the soul to all components and all functions of the body. The child grows and matures into a young person. The power of God is present with every inhalation and exhalation. The person's heart is merely the distribution center for his earthly existence. The heart muscle sets the beat depending on whether the person breathes shallowly or more deeply. The child grows and matures and gradually comes into adolescence. Time does not pause. The young person grows older. The years pass. The process of growing older merges into being old, but the core of being remains with him, the human being. Because life on earth is not permanent, sooner or later the person passes on. Already with a child's birth, the soul brings along its cycle of life on earth, which the former person, insofar as there were previous incarnations, inflicted on his soul. Among other things, this cycle of life on earth shows how long the person will live in the temporal. Consequently, at the time of birth, the new citizen of the earth already bears within the cycle that is from birth to death.
However, it is possible that the person terminates his life cycle on earth sooner than foreseen. This happens when he creates causes upon causes through which situations can occur that, for instance, bring with them the danger of the person dying prematurely. So he breaks off his life cycle on earth through a premature death, which he caused himself. There are countless variations of fate, for instance, also through suicide or through a karmic network, whereby, for example, one takes another along into death, etc., etc. However, the person himself is always the challenger of his destiny, his fate. But the core of being remains in his soul. Now, the objection could come that even a premature death would have to be programmed, because nothing happens by chance. Yes, so is it. But it always depends on us, on the person himself, whether in critical situations we moderate ourselves in time or let the vehicle of our soul, the body, crash. Here too, the free will decides.
As stated, with the first inhalation of the newborn, the core of being and the soul connect with the pituitary gland. When a person passes on, with his last exhalation, the core of being and the soul begin to separate from the pituitary gland. The soul body very gradually separates from the dead body, so that this is now merely the shell of the former soul body. With the person's last exhalation, the now finer material soul body inhales and, after the complete disembodiment, continues breathing in the beyond according to the rhythm of its finer materialness. A more light-filled soul perceives the tone, the sound of a finer material planet, which is programmed by the person according to the for or against of the commandment of love for God and neighbor. It is possible that a so-called earthbound, world-oriented soul may linger in the temporal for a very long time, because the material-oriented programs of the former person were also absorbed by the soul.
The programs shaped by this side of life are primarily stored in the material cosmos, because to wherever a person sins, from there he receives. Therein is also the force of attraction, the magnet for the soul, once the physical body has passed on. And yet, the all communication, the core of being in the soul remains. And so our inputs form the sending and receiving station. For example, when a soul goes to another incarnation, then it takes its still existing pros and cons along into its new earthly existence. If the negative programs prevail, then this can definitely determine the fate of the newly incarnated person. Each of us, that is, we, have it in hand. It is not for nothing that the Eternal gave us the Ten Commandments through Moses, excerpts from the law of the all-encompassing law of infinity from the kingdom of God. And it was not for nothing that in his Sermon on the Mount, the Son of God, the co-regent of the kingdom of God as Jesus of Nazareth, gave still deeper insight into the inherent principles of the eternal being.
We, every single person, decide about our life on earth according to the principle of for and against. Either for God's indications in His commandments and in the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, or against the advice of the Eternal by acting against our soul through transgressions in our thinking, speaking, and acting, in this way using up the energy of the soul and body, so that possibly a blow of fate breaks out, which could definitely have been prevented. In the law of love for God and neighbor, freedom is of significance because from the all law come many warning signs, which can be of help to the person insofar as he is willing to place himself in question over and over again. If we are alert, and if in all not good situations we make the connection to ourselves regarding what concerns our fellow man, as well as our behavior toward the world of animals and plants, toward the whole earth with everything that it bears, then we learn on ourselves and will curb ourselves in good time. However it may be, the all communication, the core of being, remains in the very basis of our soul.
Dear fellow people, in the following, let us now listen to how the soul prepares the person for his passing. But first, a tip, especially for elderly people. Elderly people notice ever more often that their physical strength is lessening, that they are perhaps becoming slower, even frailer, and tire out more and more often. Their breathing rhythm is also shallower. Particularly during strenuous work, their breathing is more difficult. And so, many things are more arduous. We are not talking about illness here. That belongs to another topic. How often do we hear, age sets the plane in motion and smooths everyone equally? No matter whether a person makes use of plastic surgeons or not, his strength lessens. His metabolism slows down. The wrinkles come. His hair turns gray, etc., etc. The development is inevitable. This is simply part of a person's life on earth. Life changes from birth to death, but the core of being contains the eternal youth in the eternal being.
In all of infinity, nothing happens by chance. Nor is there anything static, nothing that happens unexpectedly with a jolt. After a certain time of being here, the soul in the person begins the time of preparation for the moment in which the soul moves out of its physical body. During this time of preparation, The soul prepares for life in its finer material form. Slowly, very slowly, in a healthy person, often over several years, the soul withdraws. For example, many an elderly person has trouble walking. The strength in his arms and hands also decreases. To carry something heavy becomes a burden. The organs of seeing and hearing also lessen in their performance. Daily life, in general, is more painstaking. Many a person does not want to think about this. How often do we hear from elderly people, "But that's impossible. That used to be no problem at all for me. I was agile, strong. I could work for many hours without great effort, that is, accomplish things. And today, everything is so arduous."
So ist es nun mal.
That's just how it is. The soul is preparing for another aggregate state. If we could ask our soul, then it would basically answer us as follows. You, my shell, called man, take note. I, the spirit being in the innermost part of your soul body, am not of this world. I have only assumed a physical body to rectify during this life on earth as much as possible of what I brought along from former incarnations in the way of iniquity. I want to go homeward, to my land of origin, the eternal kingdom of God, where I will again live as a spirit being in the eternal all being. No matter how a person purports to be, no matter whether he wants to try to delay growing old as long as possible through cosmetic operations, spas, massages and the like, everyone, absolutely everyone, is merely a wayfarer on this earth. One day, the soul will discard its physical body because it belongs to the earth. There are no exceptions. All human beings pass on. And even if the soul returns ever so often as a human being, for every person, without exception, comes the time and the hour when the soul discards its body. But the core of being, the heavenly all communication, remains in it.
The same applies to all coarse material life forms on, over, and in the earth, as well as in the oceans and waters, earth to earth. The material universe and the finer material universes are also gradually being led back by the eternal. For the life in God is fine material. It is ethereal and absolutely pure. Jesus essentially said, "Become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Everything that is not akin to the origin, the perfection, is inhaled by God, the eternal, in cycles toward the eternal all-being. He transforms the coarse material into the finer material, and the finer material into fine material. Everything is then again fine material, finest primordial substance, compressed light ether.
Dear fellow people, we now begin a great new chapter in our book to this program and continue reading under the title, The Incorruptible Core of Being. Hope leads to eternal life. Everything out of the breath of God lives eternally. and is embedded, that is, absorbed, into the inexhaustible light ether. The life out of the breath of God is light of His light. It is the core of being, the fullness of the being. The question to this topic: where is the seat of the maturing core of being in animals and of the germinating life in plants, stones, and minerals? In the animals, out of the breath of God, which, as stated, have a maturing core of being, the seat is in the brain, according to the development of the animal. With many an animal, we can also say that it is already near the pituitary gland. We should always assume that in every animal, the core of being is formed according to its spiritual development, according to its state of consciousness, that is, its degree of maturity. In the smallest animals, as well as in the plant and mineral kingdoms, the germinating eternal life is still part of a collective and, like all forms of consciousness, allocated to cycles of evolution. The specific degree of maturity is the state of consciousness of the respective living beings and life forms.
The germinating life has a divine structure, which can be described as a particle structure. Every spiritual germ is set in particles and, in the cradle of drawing, that is, of creation, develops further into the next higher form. If the degree of maturity of the germinating life has developed to the extent that it can be set as a core of being, then in the corresponding form of being, evolution continues toward the next higher unfoldment of consciousness in the planes of development. The earthly three-dimensional way of thinking classifies everything in categories. So the person envisions, for instance, what I perceive here as phenomena must be the same everywhere. According to the thinking of many people, every animal, every plant species, all tree species, all minerals must be the same everywhere as what they observe in their sphere of activity. In the seven-dimensional creation, there is nothing that would be divided into categories. As stated, every germ of life has differently developed degrees of consciousness. For this reason, here and there, or even on other continents, a flower, a shrub, or a tree species, for instance, can have another form or even other characteristics. It can have a very different name and bloom or ripen at a different time. Nevertheless, this life form belongs to the same genus, even when the germ of life displays different stages of development. The Creator Spirit, who holds all life in His hands, does not let Himself be put into human categories.
But when we think of the manipulation procedures that man forces onto the animals and plants, then it has to be said that the appearance of so artificially altered living beings and life forms does not correspond to what the Creator God designated to the animal and plant kingdoms. Man, who is a slave to idolatry, upholds his concoction as a putative trophy in every respect. Whether by altering genes in animal and plant species or via arbitrary hybrids, man always proves to be the henchman of the one who comes from below. The henchman of the underworld makes himself at home everywhere, also in the mineral kingdoms. But one thing is certain – he will never be able to manipulate the eternal creator spiritual life of creation. When we take a closer look at the behavior of the mankind of yesterday, that is, of previous generations, and that of the present generation, we get an inkling of how far mankind has distanced itself from the origin of life. Even though the eternal light, the eternal sun of being, still shines in the very basis of the person, the cell structure of the physical body and the spiritual particle structure of the soul are often so very shadowed that the sinner looks only at his own world of shadows and considers this to be real, and even the reality of life.
The question is asked again and again, why doesn't God intervene in this shambles of human ignorance? Why does God allow the manipulations of animals and nature? Why does he allow animals to be tormented, tortured, and massacred? Why? Because according to the law of freedom, we human beings are absolutely free beings. From the beginning of his creating and drawing, that is, with the first respiration of a spiritual atom, God, the Eternal, placed freedom into the spiritual cradle of creation, into the let there be. Anyone who abuses the principle of freedom, which is a life principle of the Eternal Being, by allowing his all-too-human will to become a deed, delivers himself up to the casual law, which is divide, bind, and rule, which results in cause and effect, sowing and reaping.
For us human beings, this means that we ourselves are responsible for everything that we think, speak, and do that does not correspond to the law of love for God and neighbor, which contains the true freedom. Everything that goes out from us as not good aspects and has not been remedied comes back into us. It is stored by our physical body cells and the particle structure of our soul. Anyone who does not recognize this today and continues as before designs his own realm of shadows, which comes from below. Thus marked, the soul goes into the beyond after its disembodiment, because as the tree falls, so will it lie. Depending on the soul's burdening, it may go to another incarnation, an incarnation that corresponds to it. Depending on his condition, the new person picks up where he left off, at the time of his former body's demise.
Dear fellow people, all the insights into the all-encompassing works of the Eternal Creator Spirit presented here are, stated in human words, not even a drop in the ocean of the all-unity. However, in the soul of every person is the all-ocean, the essence of the all. Because the rendering of the all-being, given in three-dimensionally marked words, is not even a drop in the all-ocean, the following must be stated. May the one who can grasp this, grasp it. May the one who does not want to accept it, as far as it has been given, leave it. At some point in time, that which the person is in the very basis of his soul, will open up in the soul, an ethereal spirit being of the All, of the light ether, which is the All Unity.
To conclude, a reminder and a request. Think about, may we all do this, the fact that for every piece of meat that man eats, an animal from the All family of God was killed. Also think about the fact that the animals that also eat meat call up this behavior from the energies with which the earth is impregnated, or from energies that they have absorbed from the smell of the billions of people who consumed and consume pieces of animal carcasses. If you want to, also think about the fact that all the negative contents of our feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting are warfare agents that have sound, color, form, and smell. Via our glands, we exude what we are, also what corresponds to the food we eat. Let us also think about the fact that it is the human being who transmits his behavior patterns to the animals in the temporal, that is, on earth. No matter how we want to see it, eating meat means to have animals killed.
Dear fellow people, this chapter of our book to this program closes with the following words, which we would like to add our wishes to. May ever more people grasp in their hearts and experience that animals are our fellow creatures in the great All family of God. They are our little brothers and sisters who require our love and care. We wish you, all of us, the perception of life in and around us, the unfoldment of consciousness for the All Unity, the peace and the experience that in the very basis of our souls, a mighty, all-encompassing treasure gives us light and strength. Dear viewers, dear listeners, with this, we take our leave of you for today. In our next program, we will learn more about the infinite, inexhaustible light ether, the primordial substance from which the infinite, the eternal, the primordial God draws and forms. We would be very glad to have you with us again. Until then, all the best for you. Goodbye.